I have to start by telling you this really long story about how I became a midwife, and then there's some middle stuff, and then there's some end stuff. So we had not very many rules in my house growing up. My mom was one of nine, and so there weren't a lot of rules in her life, and so she didn't really bring any rules into our house. But there was this one particular rule that I thought was really unfair, which was, does anybody remember the Learning Channel? You know, there's like, 19 kids and counting and all that. They had this thing called the Birth Story. I was only allowed to watch two episodes a day. It had like a cap on it. My mom was like, you'll just sit here and watch it all day. And it was basically that you'd follow these couples, they'd be happily pregnant, and then they'd have their delivery, and then they'd kind of end. The mic is falling. The mic's trying to leave.
We love you, Morgan.
All right, go.
Is it done? Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Aaron.
Oh, wait.
Is it okay, Aaron? Okay. Thanks, Aaron. So we'd had this rule, and I thought it was really unfair, and I remember asking my mom, what's that kind of doctor? And my mom was like, that's an OBGYN, and I was like, I want to be that. She's like, oh, okay. No one in my family had ever gone to college, so they didn't really know what to do with me. So that happened, and then I went to this boarding school when I was 15 in northern Maine. That was weird. And I got there and they told me, yeah, you should definitely go to medical school. You're smart. You should go to medical school. You wouldn't want to waste that on being just a nurse, would you? No, of course not. Of course not. So I thought about where I'd want to go to college, and I was looking around and I thought, God, I gotta get the fuck out of northern Maine. And I thought, DC seems nice. And I thought, I'm religious enough. I guess the Catholic University of America sounds okay. Reader, it wasn't. So I got there. I'm 18. I'm at the Catholic University of America. It's going okay. And then January rolls around, and it's March for Life. And I showed up at my philosophy class, and my professor said, why aren't you at the march? And I said, I hadn't really thought about it, but it's not really my thing. I said, okay. And kind of carried on. And then I thought, where is everybody? I had not really thought about it before. I thought, well, everybody can get an abortion if they want one, I guess. I don't know. So I thought, what could I do that would really piss off the Catholic University of America? And then I became a clinic escort. And that was awesome. I loved that. Yeah. And I'd go on Saturday mornings and I'd escort people into their appointments and make sure they were safe. And then I worked the summer at the Catholic University of America. They're real proud that I'm an alumni. And I was there over the summer, and the president of Students for Life saunters up to my desk and kind of leans on it, and she goes, I know what you do on Saturday mornings. And I said, that's cool, I know what you do on Saturday mornings, too. And then she said, and if you stay here, we will make your life a living hell for the next 3 years. And I said, oh, yeah, I don't like it that much here. So then I kind of maneuvered around and took this long turn. It took me 6 years to get my undergraduate degree. I wanted to work. I worked for the Air Force. I worked for DARPA for a bit. They're real proud of me, too. Did a lot of that, and that was interesting. And I thought, God, I got to finish this biology degree so I can go to medical school. And then I thought, maybe I don't want to go to medical school. So I'm escorting at the clinic, a clinic in Virginia. And it was cool. You know, I loved it. Was doing it, working at the Air Force, doing my thing. And this old man was there with the sandwich boards. You know, I don't even remember what it said, but he's like moving slowly around. And it's probably something like stop killing innocent babies or something like that. And I remember like seeing a person and saying, come on, come on, you're safe. Like, let's get into the clinic. And I walked her into the clinic and I came back out. And he looked at me and he goes, you filthy, fat, ugly bitch. And I was like, oh. I want to find out what they're doing in there. And then somewhere along the line, I found out that midwives exist. And I thought, I got to go to nursing school. So I left the Air Force. I went to nursing school in New York City. I get there and they say, why are you here? And I say, I'm going to be a midwife and I think I'm going to do abortions because no one seems to like that. And they said, okay. And they kind of left me alone to kind of do my thing. They weren't super happy that I wasn't going to go and be a med-surg nurse and wipe old people's asses and all of that. So I go, and then I come back to D.C. with my husband and working at Planned Parenthood. I worked in L&D. I did all these things, and I just thought, like, I really want to go to midwifery school so I can be an abortion midwife. And people kept saying, like, what's an abortion midwife? And I was like, I don't know, but I want to be it because it makes people mad. So working at Planned Parenthood, and this person comes along and they say, I know you worked in first trimester care. You know, we go up to 20 weeks at Planned Parenthood. Want to do third trimester abortion? And I was like, sure. Is it going to make more people mad? So there was a new clinic, and it was starting in D.C., and they asked me to come in, and it was beautiful. And I was like, cool. What's this? I don't know how I feel about this. They're like, we do abortions up to 32 weeks. And I was like, okay, let's try it. So the thing that you guys need to know about later abortion is that it's been in darkness for a really, really long time. There's only a few places you can go in the whole country to get a later abortion. You can go to Boulder, Colorado. You can go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can go to Washington, D.C., and I thought that was cool that I got to be here and see these things. The thing you need to know about later abortion patients is that there's two reasons people get an abortion later in pregnancy. There's the really, really bad things that happen to people, to their pregnancies, to themselves. Those are medical things. And then there are social things that happen to people. People lose their homes. People lose their jobs. There are tornadoes and floods. And just the worst possible things you could imagine happen to people. And then those people come from their communities, and they come to D.C., and they need an abortion. And I want to tell you about two of those people. I took care of a patient who came, and she was a mother, and she cried for the 3 days that she was with us. And her baby was so sick. Her baby's organs weren't developed. Her baby's lungs were never, ever going to develop. And her baby's limbs were just things you couldn't imagine you'd see in any sort of normal pregnancy. She cried, and she was so quiet the whole time she was there. She said, I want to see the baby when the baby comes. I said, okay, we can see that baby. We'd kind of talked about it as a clinic, and we were like, this baby has extra fingers. This baby's legs are so bowed that you can't even imagine. Is she going to be okay? So we went in, and we've got the baby all wrapped up with the pink and the blue hat and the hospital blanket. We give her the baby. She starts to slowly unwrap the baby. She's looking. We're like, did she notice the extra fingers? Does she notice how bowed the legs are? Does she see how small the torso is? And we knew this baby was never going to breathe. This thing she had done, this abortion she'd had, was a very compassionate thing that a parent does who loves their baby. And she got down to the legs, and she like unwraps all the way, and she goes, do you think he would have walked? I No. This baby never would have breathed. And I tell you that because it's important to realize what kind of loss people have when they have an abortion later in pregnancy. They're losing their baby, and then they're losing all the hope that they had for their family. The second patient that I want to tell you about, I laugh, but it's not very funny. So we have a lot of young patients. They take care of kids. And I had a patient come in, and she's 12. And we talked a lot about what it would be like to consent a 12-year-old. What does that look like? How do you explain, like, what the process is going to be? How do you talk about the anatomy? How do you deeply consent somebody to a procedure that maybe they can't understand? So we went in, and I was, like, you know, explaining the procedure as best I could and talking to her. And I was like, do you consent to the procedure? You know, like, do you have any questions or concerns? She looks at me and she goes, I'm 12. I don't want to have a baby. I was like, good answer. She goes, you know what I really want to do? And I was like, what do you really want to do? She goes, I want to go to law school. And I was like, you should go to law school. That's awesome. And I tell you that because as much as that first patient lost a lot of hope for the future, this person got it back. They got their whole lives ahead of them. They're going to go to law school, and we're going to read about them someday and say, fuck yeah, like, that's awesome. So I tell you these stories so that I can lead you kind of into this third chapter here, which is that the thing I'm doing now is opening the first all-trimester woman-owned clinic in the country. Yeah. And some of my team is here. And it should make you proud to be a Marylander. Because when I thought about starting this clinic, I co-own this clinic with an OBGYN. It's a dear friend of mine. And I remember when I met her, she said, there's always going to be someone to do the middle of the night C-section. There's not always going to be someone brave enough to do the abortions. And I thought, I want to know her. And now we're opening this clinic, and we tried to start in December. And the thing you should know about this clinic is it's a community project. It's our community project, all of you guys together. Because 3,000 people on GoFundMe gave money so we could open this clinic. And the amount of outpouring of hope and support and love and devotion that our community has shown to us should give you just the tiniest bit of hope. And that's it.